We'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. I would like to read from Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning with the 31st verse and read through the end of that chapter. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 31 through 37. And the main thought, there are really two thoughts in that passage of Scripture that I would ask you to pray for God to help us to consider tonight. Before we begin to endeavor to study, I would ask that you please join your hearts together for me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we do have to come into the house of the Lord tonight. We thank you for the health and the freedom. We thank you for the desire. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we think about the words of the psalmist when he said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And we thank you, Lord, for the unity and the harmony and the peace that we have. Pray that you would bless us always, Lord, to be able to have that, to maintain that, and that we would be careful to maintain good works, that we would be zealous, committed, and dedicated in our service to Thee. Lord, you know that we are weak and frail creatures, and we need your help, we need guidance, we need wisdom, we need for your Spirit to motivate us, and we pray that you would move in our hearts and minds, and that we, as you give us the grace which is sufficient for everything in life, we pray that we would not receive the grace of God in vain, but we would be careful to walk in the Spirit, walk by the grace of God that you've given us, that you would help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might, that you would help us to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, you know the various things that each person faces during this coming week, and we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to bless each person here and each family, that they would be able to feel thy sustaining grace in their lives. We ask you, Lord, to bless those that have special burdens and problems, the unspoken prayer requests. We pray that you would be with them. Those that have cancer and other physical problems, we pray that thou, as the great physician, would touch their bodies, strengthen them, and lift them up. We pray that you would bless everyone on the prayer list and all the others that have been mentioned audibly. You would bless each individual and each family. And we do ask you now to help us as we try to study thy holy word. May thy Spirit be our teacher, that thou would guide us and direct us, and that thou would give me liberty to be able to preach the word. And may thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Again, guide our footsteps. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. Bless us all during this coming week. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we pray that you would send rain upon the earth. We thank you for the rain we've had, but we ask you to send a great amount of rain to put out the fires, and that you would relieve the earth of the parched conditions that we're having right now. Have mercy on us, Lord. Bless us and watch over and protect all those who are fighting the fires. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning with the 31st verse, Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning with verse 31, the Word of God says, "O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee? Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine those people forgetting God? Just amazing that as good as God was to Israel, it's amazing that they could forget God. Yes, that's what the Word of God says they did. He says, "Yet ye have forgotten me days without number." Verse 33, he says, "Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shall be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. I want us to think tonight about the two main expressions that are on my heart. First of all, if you'll look back at verse 33, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 33, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 33, the question is asked, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? I want you to think about that. God says, why are you trimming your way to seek love? And if I understand that correctly, God is asking His people Israel, why do you keep changing the way of God? When He says thy way, He's talking about the way God had given for Israel to walk. Why do you keep trimming your way to seek love? Now what love was it that Israel was seeking after that they kept altering the way of God? What kind of love, whose love do you think it was that they were seeking after when He said, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Whose love do you think that, and just open up and tell me, whose love do you think that they were seeking at that time? Yes, I think the love of the world. Somebody else said something else. Say it again. Yes, they were seeking the love of Egypt. Egypt here represents the world, and they were seeking the love of Egypt. They had previously sought the love of Assyria, and He says, you have sought to trim your ways. You've tried to change the way of God. See, God had given them the right way to walk in. He says now, God says to Israel, He said, this is the way, walk ye in it. So many times the people of God trim what God has said, that is, they alter and they change the way that God has said things ought to be done. They trim the way that God's given them. Why? Because they're seeking to be satisfying to the world. I think there are many churches today, and all of us need to think about this individually and as a church. We need to continuously examine ourselves because it is very tempting to try to alter the way of God so that we can be appealing to more people. Don't we like large crowds? Don't all churches like large crowds? Don't we get excited when the house of God is full of God's people? Does it please God when His house is full of His people? Indeed it does. Is it something that's right and good for the house of God to be full of God's people? Indeed it is. But never should the church alter the way of God or the ways of God in order to attract more people. There are things more important than the number of people in the house of God. There are things that are more important than a lot of people liking the people of God. The thing that is most important is that we do things God's way, and then God will add those that He would have to be a part of His church. But the church, the people of God, individually, do I need to be careful about altering things in my speech and in people that I'm around? Do I have to be careful to not trim my way so that everybody will like me? I told someone this past week, one of the ministers here in town, and I was talking, and he said, Brother Billy, don't you want a lot of people to like you? And I said, I do, and I really do. I would like for do all of you know that I would like for everybody to like me? I would like that. In a way, the only problem with everybody liking us is that God's Word says, woe unto you when every man speaketh well of you. You see, you cannot be a Christian and everybody like you. Everybody did not like Jesus Christ. Everybody will not like the church of Jesus Christ. Everybody will not like you if you do not trim your way to please them. We cannot alter the way of God. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. Is there a difference in God's way and the way of the world? And what is God questioning Israel about here? He says, why are you trimming your way to seek love? You know, really a good question is, why would we want to seek the love of the world when we have the love of God? Why would we ever trim or change anything to try to seek the love of the world when we can feel the love of God? You can't have the love of God and the love of the world. Do you understand? That's impossible. So any time we begin to trim the way that God has given us, any time we begin to alter the standard of righteousness or the truth of God's Word, any time we begin to alter that to seek the love of other people, we need to understand that when we do that, we're going to lose the love, the manifest love of God. And so that's what God is saying to His people Israel here. He says, you're trimming your way to seek love. And He's saying, I'm warning you, that's a very serious condition. He makes the same kind of expression, if you come down to verse 36. He asks the question in verse 36. He says, why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Why? Now, we don't use that word gaddest about. But basically, he's saying, why are you running about doing so many different things to change your way? Why were they going about? He's asking the question again, but he's already answered the question earlier. Why were the children of Israel running about trying to change their ways? What was the reason? The reason is they wanted to seek the love of other people, and that was more important to them than the love of God. And you and I must decide every day of our lives, we must decide what is most important. Is it to feel the love of God and to be a friend of God, or is it to be a friend of the world and have the world love us? Because we cannot have it both ways. If we're going to trim ourselves to seek the love of the world, we will cease to feel the love of God. I want you to notice in Romans chapter 12, go forward in your Bibles to the book of Romans, go to the New Testament, and we'll spend most of the time looking in the New Testament, just two or three scriptures, but I want you to first of all, in fact, I want to just stop right here, and I want you to tell me any way that you can think of that you might trim yourself to seek love. Any way that you can think of that you might trim God's way. Give me some examples so that everybody knows what we're talking about. Somebody give me some examples of way we can trim God's way in order to seek the love of the world. Somebody give you an example. All right, Sister Jane? Very good. Now, that's the way that we, the churches today, have trimmed the way of God in order to seek the love of others. They are tolerant of other lifestyles. Listen, brethren, the idea of tolerance is not taught in the Word of God. God is not tolerant, and God's people and God's church cannot be tolerant and still have fellowship with God. God does not tolerate ungodliness in my life or your life or in the world. And if the church ever wants to tolerate things that God's Word says are not to be tolerated, what are they doing? They're trimming themselves to what? To seek love. They're trimming themselves to seek the approval of other people. So that's one way, is when the church or when us individually, when we start trimming God's way and cutting off things God says are wrong, and we start compromising and tolerating things that are not to be tolerated. Somebody give me another example. Sister Ruth? Okay, all right. If we had Super Bowl Sunday, I think it comes in January, and we're going to call off church Sunday night. We're going to have Super Bowl Sunday, and we're going to just have a large crowd of people. We're going to have a large screen TV, and we're going to invite the people to come so that we can watch the Super Bowl game, and we're going to serve refreshments and just have a wonderful time in the house of God. Listen, brethren, you know what you've done right there? You've thrown the Word of God out. You've thrown the worship of God out of His house. And you've turned the house of God into a den of iniquity. That's trimming your way to please the world. You know, there are some churches that even call off worship services on Christmas. You know, that's amazing. We're here to celebrate, supposedly, December 25th. Christians are supposedly celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. But what happens on Sunday night in the house of God many times? We just call off services. Why? We're trimming away God's way. Why? Because we want to please everybody. We don't want to require too much of anybody. We don't want anybody to feel pressured to be in God's house. So we'll just call off the worship of God. Listen, brethren, The people of God had better be careful about trimming themselves away. Because God will do what He did to Israel here, and He says, I'm going to send judgment in your lives, and you're going to go around suffering because you wanted the friendship of Egypt and Assyria instead of my friendship. You trimmed my way that was your way. You trimmed it away, and you did that so that you could be loved by the world. You were seeking love. Give me another example of some way that we individually, let's talk about personally now. Tell me some way that you personally might trim away. You might trim your way to seek love of other people. Okay, that's trimming away, isn't it? That's trimming away what we ought to be doing in our homes and instead of looking at God's Word. Say we don't have time to look at God's Word, we don't have time to read God's Word, don't have time to study God's Word, but we have time to do just about everything else we want to do. You know what we've done? We've trimmed away, we've pushed away the things of God that ought to be in the houses, in the homes. We've pushed that out because we've trimmed it away so that we seek the love of the flesh. Brother Caleb?
Don't talk about
God. Okay, sometimes we don't want to talk about God around other people because, you know, they might think that we're really sanctimonious. They might think that we're holier than thou. They might think that we're a religious fanatic. Listen, brethren, if we're ashamed to talk about God, you know what we've done? We've trimmed our way in order to seek love. All that boils down to the fact that sometimes God's people just whittle themselves away and compromise and they keep backing up until finally they're no longer in fellowship with God. You cannot compromise God's way and continue to have His fellowship. Somebody gave me a little plaque. I jotted it down on a note here. Somebody gave me a plaque about 30 years ago. When I first started preaching, a preacher gave me this plaque and it says, "He that trims himself to suit everybody will soon whittle himself away." You understand what that says? He that trims himself, that's the same truth that's being taught right here. He that trims himself to suit everybody. You know, there are some times that my flesh wants to please everybody, wants to suit everybody. Listen, you keep trying to trim away to suit everybody, you'll soon whittle yourself away. But worse than whittling yourself away is when you begin to trim God's Word away and you trim away the things that are right and good in your life and in the church and in our nation. What have we done as a nation? We have trimmed things away so much to try to please everybody. I have people often say to me, "You think this is a Christian nation? You think this ought to be a Christian nation?" Well, it used to be a Christian nation, and yes, it ought to still be a Christian nation. And the only reason America is not a Christian nation is because we have kept trimming away everything to try to please everybody. And now what have we become? We started out as a Christian nation. We became just a godly nation, not mentioning Jesus Christ. We became a godly nation, and now we have become a godless nation. A nation that doesn't want any mention of God whatsoever. And they think that the God of Muslim or the God of Buddha or any other God, I have people tell me that quite often. Who are you to say which God is real? I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. There's only one true and living God. All these other gods in this world, you can't compromise and pretend that all the gods of this world, that it makes no difference. It does make a difference which God we serve. And it makes a difference who other people serve. And we need to let them know there is a difference in the gods of this world and our true and living God. Don't trim yourself away, and don't trim away God's way to please anybody. John the Baptist, don't you imagine he wanted to trim just a little bit? No, he didn't. But when he stood before Herod, and Herod had taken his brother's wife, what had a lot of other people done? What had a lot of other people done about divorce and remarriage? What had a lot of other people done? They just trimmed away, kept backing up, compromising. What did John the Baptist say to Herod? Had he married his brother's wife? Yeah, he had married her. But John the Baptist said, "It's not lawful for you to have her." Did you know that statement is hardly ever made to people that are unscripturally divorced and remarried today? Well, it's not lawful. It wasn't lawful then. It's not lawful today. You can't trim God's way. You have to always hold on to God's way. Homosexuality was not acceptable in the beginning of this world. It was not acceptable in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was not acceptable in the days of Jesus Christ. And homosexuality is just as ungodly today as it was when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. You can't compromise on what's right and what's wrong. You can't change what's right and what's wrong. This idea that we live in the year 2007, so things are different today, and that this word is not applicable to us today, is a doctrine of the devil. God's word, listen, first of all, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't try to trim him, or don't try to make God fit what you think is right. You change your thinking to fit what God says is right. Listen now in Romans chapter 12. Look in Romans chapter 12. Listen to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We're talking about a question that God asked Israel in Jeremiah 2 verse 33 when he said, "Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Why are you changing yourself to try to please other people?" Who is the only one you ought to be willing to please, trying to please? The only one you ought to be trying to please is God. Did the Sadducees, did they try to get Peter to trim his way? You know what Peter said? Peter said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." He wouldn't trim his way. Listen now to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, listen please to verse 2. The Word of God says in Romans 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world." Isn't that what we're trying to do when we trim ourselves away? He says, "Be not conformed to this world." Are there ways we have conformed to this world? If any of you haven't seen, somebody gave me, and I believe it was Brother Rich Cerniglia, gave me a CD. I can't ever keep up with the different things. It's a CD, but the name of it was Time Changers, I believe. Isn't that correct? The name of it was Time Changers, and it talked about a man from 1890s who was a seminary professor, and all of a sudden he was supposedly, theoretically, he was brought up into the year 2007, and he was astonished everywhere he went. He couldn't believe that churches were doing what they're doing today. He couldn't believe that Christians, so-called Christians, were doing what they were doing today. He couldn't believe the things that were being tolerated today, the things that were acceptable in the homes of Christians today that were deplorable in 1890. It'd be a good thing for you to look at that movie. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying everything's right. There's some false theology. There's some false ideas in it. But I'm telling you, there's a point in that movie that every one of us needs to understand, and that is the way that was right in 1890 was a lot closer to this way than the way we have today. And it helped me see some ways that I have trimmed away. It helped me see some ways that we have all trimmed away God's way. It helped me see that there is a standard of righteousness that was right in 1890 and 1790 and 1590 and go all the way back to the days of Jesus Christ. There has always been a way that God gave. Now, God's way is a straight and a what? It's a straight and a narrow way. You can't alter it. You can't change it. In fact, Jesus, or rather the Word of God says in Revelation, you start adding to the Word of God and taking away from the Word of God, you're going to partake of the judgments that are mentioned in Revelation. Now, that's a frightening thing. You read about those judgments and you'll see it's a dangerous thing to start trimming away the things that we trim away. Don't be conformed to this world. Aren't we being conformed to this world? You know, I looked at my daughter, Melissa. She gave Chris an album for Mother's Day. I looked at all the pictures in there from when we were children. This is when I was a child. I know that's many, many years ago for some of you, but listen, when I was a boy, I looked at the clothes I wore to school when I was a boy. I looked at the clothes we wore to church when I was a boy. And I thought about, and I looked at the clothes that girls wore back in the 1950s and the 1960s. I looked at how they dressed. And I thought about what's happened to the way we dress. Let me tell you something, brethren. Jesus Christ is going to judge every parent that doesn't care how your daughters dress. There are some girls and boys that dress very provocatively. And I've even heard so-called Christians say, "If you've got it, flaunt it." I'll tell you, that's as devilish as anything I can imagine. And you start trying to appeal sexually to young boys and young men, You start doing things to appeal to them, you're asking for trouble in the lives of your children. Any parent here that's not watching the way your children dress, any child comes into this church dressed with clothes so tight that you can tell every curve on their body, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Did you know that? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I've said it time and time again, and it's not making any difference. And grandparents are talking, it's not making any difference. And if you want to go somewhere else, you can go somewhere else. But I'm telling you, it's not pleasing to God the way we're conforming ourselves to this world. Do I want you to leave? No, I don't. What I want you to do? I want you to stop being conformed to this world. I want to stop being conformed to this world. I want us to stop being conformed to this. I want us to stop trimming ourselves away. Be not conformed to this world, but what? But be ye transformed. That means be changed. Be changed from living and looking like the world. Be ye transformed. Look like Jesus. Act like Jesus. Walk like Jesus. Talk like Jesus. Dress like Jesus. Live like Jesus. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only way you can do that is stop trimming yourself away. Stop being conformed to this world and be transformed, be changed to look like, act like, and live like Jesus Christ. Love not the world. This is what John said. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For anybody that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world and you want to look like the world and you act like the world, you want to act like the world, God's Word says the love of the Father is just not in you. That's what causes you to want to live and look like the world. Pictures sometimes that are made of some of our teenagers. There's no difference in pictures that are made of some of our teenagers today and pictures that were made of prostitutes in 1900. It's a shame and a disgrace. What's happening? We want to be friends with the world. We want to look like the world. We want to appeal to the world. We want the world to fall in love with us. We want to push our children out there into the world. We want to put our children out there in such a way that we can appeal to the world. And you know what we're going to attract? We're going to attract the world. And we're going to attract damnation to ourselves. James 4 says, whosoever wants to be a friend, whosoever, in fact, I'll read it. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. The Word of God says in James chapter 4, listen please to verse 4. In James chapter 4, in verse 4, the Word of God says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, can a person be an adulterer without having sexual relations, literal sexual relations in the Word of God? In the Word of God, does the Word of God talk about adulterers and adulteresses without necessarily talking about sexual relations? What's it talking about when it talks about adulterers and adulterers? When it's not talking about literal sexual relations, what's it talking about? It's talking about children of God that are espoused to God and they're running around with the world. They're committing spiritual adultery. And James says in James 4:4, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You know what the word enmity means? Somebody just tell me, what do you think the word enmity means? Hatred. Does God hate for us to be friends with the world? What do we want to be? We want to be friends with everybody. Is there a part of me, does my flesh want everybody to like me? My flesh does. Do I want to be a friend with everybody in the world? My flesh wants that. But listen, I can't allow that and be a friend of God. I can't trim myself away. The question is, why trimmest thou thy way? Where'd you get this way that you came up with? It's the way that God gave us in His Word. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Why are you changing things to seek the love of the world? When you get the love of the world, you're just getting trouble, heartache, and sorrow. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Listen, brethren, that's the worst thing. I would rather Russia and China. I would rather Japan. I would rather any and all nations of this world to be our enemy than for God to be our enemy. Do you know why God is becoming our enemy? And do you know why we're becoming an enemy of God? It's because as a nation, we just keep trimming God's way to seek the love of the world and satisfy the world. You know what's happening to churches today? We just keep trimming God's way to try to satisfy the world and please the world. You know what's happening to members of churches and homes and families and so-called Christians? We just keep trimming God's way. We're running about trying to be friends with the world. And we've become the enemy of God. Go with me in closing to just one other scripture. If you will, go back to Jeremiah chapter 6. Listen, please, to verse 16, 17, 18, and 19. Please look back in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. Now, there was something that God told His people to do. In Jeremiah chapter 2, what did He tell them? He says, you're trimming your way to seek love. Now, in Jeremiah 6, He tells them there's a remedy. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that God does. He's so merciful and gracious. As far as we have gone, I believe there is still hope. As far as we've gone, individually, as a church, and as a nation, as far as we've gone, there's still hope. God says in Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? What way is that? It's God's way. That's right. It's God's way. Have you ever had somebody say, well, you think everything's got to be your way? Oh, no. It's not my way. Whose way is it that we have to fight for? It's God's way. And so the Word of God says, ask for the old. Do we need to ask for the old paths? All through the book of Jeremiah, there were people that said, pray and ask for the old paths. Ask God to show us the old paths. Ask God to teach us the right way. And we will walk therein. And so it is, He says here, ask for the old way. Walk in those old paths, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And I doubt there was any... Well, I don't doubt that. I first started to say, I doubt there was anybody that just stood up and literally said, we will not walk therein. But I think there were people that literally said it, but I think there were other people that they just... Go ahead, preacher, preach all you want to. I'm going to continue in my direction. And by doing that, they were saying, we're going to walk in our own way. Verse 17 says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Did you know that's being done by people today in this church? They're refusing to hearken to God's Word. They're refusing to do what God says. They're refusing to hear instruction. We will not hearken. Verse 18 says, therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. It's a serious thing to reject the laws of God, the way of God. It's a serious thing to even trim God's way to seek the love of the world. You go to Revelation chapters 2 and 3, you'll find that in every one of those churches that God rebuked, you'll find that in every one of them, they were trimming God's way to please the world. Some of them had taken in the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Some had taken in one doctrine and another doctrine. But in every instance that God rebuked the church in Revelations 2 and 3, it was because they had trimmed God's way to seek love. You know what God told the church at Ephesus? He said, repent and return to thy first love. And that's my exhortation, that's my desire, that's my hope for every one of us tonight, is that we will repent and return to our first love and return to His way and stop trimming His way, is my prayer for Christ's sake.